Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, a lot of talk over the last week or so about consensus boards and straying from consensus boards. John Lynch is getting the biggest accusations, and his drafts have sucked, quite frankly. He just hasn't done a very good job, and he strays the most. Nick Caserio strays a little bit. Nick Caserio strays from consensus boards somewhat, but if you take a look at it, here is a list of the biggest strays from the Texans and consensus boards. Number one, Jamal Hill, the linebacker taken in 24 from Oregon. He was the biggest stray.
What?
He took, yeah, he's his average.
Who says
was
this?
His average was third. And here's the problem with there weren't many sources on that.
Yeah, I'm a source. I wrote him up. He should have gone late. He was a late round pick because he is a great tester and a special teams guy. Yeah. He might have been one round early.
Well, see, and that's, I saw Erica DaCosta. He talked about it. He said what a lot of these
really
boards
good.
Don't take into it. He's really
yeah.
good. He said what a lot of boards don't take into, first of all, is behind-the-scenes information that the media doesn't have.
We don't have it.
You don't have it. And secondly is teams, a lot of teams that late in drafts.
Special teams is major.
They covet. They covet late in drafts. And, you know, a lot of guys from smaller schools or, you know, guys that just aren't in the mainstream, they miss and the teams hit on. Of course, the teams hit and miss too, quite often.
There's only two of us that I know that are mainstream. I mean, I'm sure there's maybe others who have tape who go through, you know, enough players like all the players drafted. Me and Dane Brugler, and Dane and I both go. Daniel Jeremiah does up to 150. Well, that's not true. Actually, DJ does over 300 players.
Hmm.
He creates a 150 board.
Right.
But so when this consensus, so where does the consensus come from?
So well, here, that one is a low source.
Right.
Jamal Hill was a low source.
Yeah.
Roy Lopez, he was, there's six sources that they used, and he was a reach in the sixth round. And turns out Roy Lopez wasn't very good.
Well, Roy Lopez is actually still in the league and actually had a pretty decent year last year. That's not actually true. He's playing like a sixth rounder.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not a reach to that, me.
Well, right, because you got him in the sixth round, I guess. But the team that got him, it didn't benefit from him.
Where did I have Roy? I think I had him 7 PFA. No. Wait, no. Where was my projection on Roy? Yeah, 7 PFA. See, I don't consider a sixth round pick
a reach. Yeah, with a seventh round.
I can tell you some others I thought
were reaches. Keontae Hamilton is one from last year.
Late.
That was only. Now, here's more boards. Tegan Katoriano.
Fourth?
They got him in the fifth.
They got Tegan in the fifth, not the fourth?
The fifth.
That's not a reach.
Wade Woodes, a fourth rounder.
Yeah, 4-5 was his draft.
That's what you have.
Yes.
Well, the consensus boards didn't.
What are the consensus boards?
Well, there's nine consensus boards that they're using. There are nine boards that they're
using.
See,
I'd like to know how these are built because my stuff is part of the consensus board.
Right.
And what I'm saying is if you go to my draft projections, this is what I get from primarily NFL sources on where this is part of the consensus. I'm working with NFL teams to see where guys are going to go. I'll give you an idea. I'll give you an example. Caden Wettjen, the specialist punt returner, mm-hmm. you know, the white guy who was mm-hmm. on a golf course when he was drafted. I had him in a sixth, wide receiver, special team stuff. And I had a team, I'll tell you now, actually Chicago Bears, tell me, no, you need to put him fourth, fifth, could go fourth, but no later than fourth, fifth. I said, that's interesting. How come? Because I don't love him as wide receiver because he is special as a return guy. And now NFL teams now with kick return coming back the way it is, if you're a returner, your value has shot up. So if you're a really plus or an elite returner, you're not usually getting out of the fifth round, and a lot of times it's going fourth round. This is the same team that drafted Xavier Thomas from LSU in the third round. And look, I had a six-round grade on him, but I forgot to move him up more because I forgot he was one of the more elite returners. And that's the same team that told me, you got to move returners up now. But then I heard it from other people as when I kept talking to other teams. So I don't do all these round projections. I talk to different league sources in bits and pieces because I can't have them go over 200 players. They get pissed off and they'll never talk to me again.
Right.
So I'll just do one position group maybe and then like won't bother them for another week and then ask them again. And so one of the things I found is, and this gets to Eric DaCosta's point about special teams. Special teams, if you're a linebacker like Wade Wood has and you're good on special teams, you're going in a fourth usually. And if you're a really good tester, sometimes a third because you're considered a backup, but you're a full-time core special teams player. That's not a reach. I'll give you an example. Tegan Quatoriano, he is a wide tight end, a blocking tight end. I go to his draft profile. You can go to any of my draft profiles and see this. And mostly in my projection on Tegan Quatoriano, okay, so I had round 6-7. So that's maybe
he got taken in the fifth.
Maybe a little bit of a reach, but
well,
in my
not if it's a position of need too. They got okay, Wade Wood as his next, and taken in the fourth round. Jalen Smith in the third.
Okay, now that was higher than I expected.
Yeah, yeah,
and that one actually was universally considered a bit of a reach.
Okay, and this year, Fabici in the fourth. You didn't have him up there.
So, how you spell his last name?
Oh. N-W-A-I-W-U. I'm with no one knows how to say it.
Okay.
Name.
I want you to, out loud, with your human mouth, I want you to say what round. Okay. My grade on him is the fifth round.
Yeah.
He was a fourth round pick. Where's my projection on him?
Fourth round. Draft position, fourth round. Round four.
You know why? Because I talked to a source who said, no, you're too low on him. He's going to get drafted higher. And I was like, I just don't like him. They said, that's fine, but teams like him more than you do.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. I said fourth, fifth.
Well, plus,
I'd put him fourth.
Well, one of the things, but you probably learned this too, is that what I saw behind the scenes is his leadership.
Yeah, and he plays two positions.
Yeah.
Like all these little things, if you're a center only, you're probably, like Sam Hecht, you're a fifth rounder. If you're a guard center, Sam Hecht is way better than this guy. The center from Kansas State. But this guy is bigger. He plays guard and center. And so the Texans value that more.
Yeah.
You know, if you play two positions or if you're a special teams player, those things are all things that can
pop. What about, next guy is Juice Scruggs, taken in the second round.
I thought that was early. I thought Juice was more of a third. Let me see where I had him. But Juice did feel, I thought that was early at the time. I didn't hate the pick. I just thought it was a little bit early. But I'm also of the mind that, you know, I had what would be a third round grade on him. My projection was third, fourth. I thought third or fourth because I thought he was going to be a center. So I said, okay, he's a center. Most centers historically
go. Well, he's also a guy that can play multiple positions.
Yeah, he had multiple position functionality. Right. But most centers historically, and I go to drafthistory.com to study historical norms, and most centers are going to go in the fourth or in the third or fourth. So I put him third, fourth. Now, my grade is 62, which is average starter. That's more of a third round grade. He went in the second. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a little early.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually more surprised that the Texans drafted him because I didn't think he was a zone scheme blocker. And from what I knew about Nick Cayley, he was going to do a lot of zone scheme stuff. So I didn't think he was a scheme fit personally.
Well, they took him in 23 before Cayley. Juice.
23 was his rookie year.
23 was
Kaylee's rookie year.
Oh, yeah. No, it was...
23 and 24. And Kaylee was... I'm sorry. I meant not Kaylee.
Yeah,
I meant Bobby Sloak.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Bobby
saying.
Sloak was the zone scheme. Right. Kaylee went to Gap.
Right, right.
But 23, 24, I meant Bobby yeah. Sloak is who I meant there.
Graham Mertz was next.
Okay.
I mean...
You got me.
Because he's...
But what was he, six?
Sixth.
Yeah. See, I just once we get to six and seven, these teams' boards
just
are so different. Now you want to talk
what
about
Marlon Klein in the second?
I mean, I thought Marlon Klein was early, but Daniel Jeremiah was telling me he said he's going to the Texans in the third, and I'm like, really? He goes, I know they love him, and then an agent who puts together boards, he talks to a lot of GMs. He had the same thing. He had him going into back into three, and so. I put a 3-4 on him. Now, 2 was early. But 2 was way early on Nate Borkage. 2 was early on every single tight end.
But not if you love your guy, though, too.
And there was a tight end run.
Yeah.
2 was early on every single tight end that went. But you know what? They all went early because all the quarterbacks sucked. There was no quarterbacks taken there. There was no running backs taken in there. Like, some position has to go in the second round. And there was a run on tight ends because everyone wants to go to 12 and 13 personnel. So that's why that happened. My confusion is, what is a consensus board?
Well,
what is it?
Take a compilation of you and Mel and Daniel Jeremiah
right.
and
right.
you know, all
right,
of those
right.
guys.
That's a consensus board. But my grades are different than my projections. My projections come from league sources. So if you look at my round, so everyone thinks that I'm saying, well, Lance Zierlein had a third and fourth round grade on him, but he went in the second round. No, that's not my grade. My grade is this. My round projections is where you need to be looking to see where I have league sources that say this is where we view him. Now, that may be one team, maybe it's two teams. So that's not, you're not going to get everyone's board. That's impossible.
Right. But I would hope that all of you guys, you know, all of you guys are talking to teams and
yeah,
finding out.
Dane does. Anyone who does round projections typically, the mainstream guys typically do. DJ talks to a lot of teams. Dane talks teams. I talk to teams. But there's only so many people who are doing enough of that type of projections where they know six round players are going to go, where the 300th pick, yeah. you know, that you have on your board, where they may or may not go. So my only problem with all the consensus board stuff is, yes, I think you can get a general idea for the first 100 to 120 picks, maybe. But this year is the Wild West because you've subtracted 60 players out of it that used to be there. 60 players are no longer in it, underclassmen. That's what's happened because of NIL. The underclassmen count was 130 the last year before NIL. This year it was 63. They've subtracted so many, and rightfully so. I'd go back to school, too. And it's ultimately going to be better for the league, in my opinion.
Yes, because they're going to get another year of college football.
They learn more football. Yeah. They're older. They're stronger. But the flip side of it is the drafts are going to start becoming more wild because
they need to go down to four rounds.
Everyone's got, agents love to hear that.
Yep.
Because they like, would. We want free agents. We want our players to be free agents.
Right.
We can put them wherever we want, the best teams.
That's right.
Agents would absolutely love that. Teams, I don't think teams would like it.
No. Well,
the Dodgers would like it.
You're not going down, although the NBA did go down. They said, you know what, two rounds, that's it. And, well,
they
was collectively bargained with the players.
And they ran out of talent. Like, there's a lot of second-round guys that can't play. There's some good fifth and sixth-rounders, actually.
Typically. Marlon Klein, Austin Deculus, you thought that was, but it was a sixth-rounder again.
Was he sixth or seventh?
He was sixth.
Yeah, I thought he was terrible.
Lewis Bond.
Yeah, I don't. Not a fan.
Right. But it's a sixth rounder.
Yeah, but that's just my opinion.
No, I know.
So they're calling these reaches, and that's and you know what?
Sometimes, well, no, but see, what the point of this, I think, is Nick's not so bad.
No. Well, he reaches on some guys, in my personal opinion, but it's not really a reach. It's just, that's not fair. I shouldn't say that.
No.
He and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of draft picks.
He's
some
a liar.
We do, some we don't. That doesn't make it a reach.
He's not a liar, Dell.
He's a liar.
I have, and Nick has more information than I do. Nick has injury. He has football character. He has mental processing. Nick has way more information, and I feel bad that people use my round projections or grades to downgrade their own general managers. I see fans who do this all the time. Like, they tag me, at Lance Zierlein said he was this. Like, this is a huge reach. Look at this, and they'll show a screenshot. And I'm like, guys, they have more information than I do. This is just my personal opinion based on the intel I have. I don't spend all year on a player. Like, I might hit some and I might lose some, but I'm never stupid enough to believe that I have more information than anybody in the NFL. I don't.
You don't, but you're truthful. Unlike Nick.
He's a liar.
And I already know Nick's probably mad because the first time that somebody says, well, you know, the consensus board or, well, it's, you know, some people are saying this is a reach. Who's saying it's a reach? That Nick is going to get all mad at me because he gets super sensitive about everything. I never get sensitive about things except Kevin Durant and start times for playoff games.
Super sensitive.
I get a little sensitive about that.
Super,
but
super
Nick gets like, you know, Nick already thinks no one else knows football. He already thinks no one should be talking about the Texans. You shouldn't be worried about anything. I'm
not
like,
concerned.
Nick, we think you're doing a good job. Why are you like... He's so combative, but it's the New England.
Hey, thing. Not concerned. So what if
I know,
the next offseason
I
completely revamped the offensive line I wasn't concerned about? Don't worry.
And he won't address. Yeah, the offensive line is completely different.
Yeah.
One concern.
How many
last
bodies
year.
Did they have they brought in?
We were concerned last year.
Yeah, no concerns.
Listen, I'm not concerned this year either.
Well, hopefully that's justified. You did do a lot of things.
New starter, new starter, new starter, new starter. Ingram, I guess, is
backups to different backups. You drafted a fourth rounder to be a backup and maybe start at some point. Yeah, man, no concerns about 2025.
If you get a chance to hear,
I don't know why you're concerned.
If you get a chance to hear Eric DaCosta, I don't know what show that, what podcast that was. If it's a Ravens podcast, it's really interesting. His discussion about what happens behind the scenes is actually really, really interesting.
Who is this?
Eric DaCosta.
Yeah.
The Ravens GM. Yeah. I saw the same thing and him talking about consensus boards. Because some teams do. They want to know. Look, they can't just call other teams, say, hey, where are you guys going to take this? So they pay attention to certain mock drafts. They pay attention to certain round projections, certain people's comments, because they're trying to figure out where are guys going to go. I told you, I had a team ask me where Jude Bowery, a tackle from Buffalo, was going to go. Not Buffalo, a tackle from Boston College was going to go. And I said, you know, like third or fourth. I'd heard there's maybe some concussion stuff, but he's got the ability to play both tackle spots. I think he's going to go third or fourth is where I was going to go. And they said, okay, thanks. We're just trying to figure out where he might go. And it's just my either guess or, and it was also, you know, some stuff I'd heard, but it didn't mean it was right. This year, the board was as wrong as it has ever been in any draft. The first round was good. Second round started getting crazy. And then it was like, it was just all over the place. It was the Wild West this year.
Well, it's a weaker draft.
Yeah, and that's right. Yep. And that's more than anything is there's a lot of players who are not going to get second contracts out of this draft. Yep. A lot.
Yep. All right. 915 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. We'll hear from some Rockets on the other side right here after their win last night. For those of you just waking up and you didn't even – how'd the Rockets do? Oh, the Rockets won. That's right. 99-93.
The right. Start times!
Except the start time was
You're
awful.
You're a liar!
Listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So the Rockets win 99-93. They look good doing it. No KD last night. No KD for game six. He's already out. Shams has said it. Lance is down with it. Lance is okay with it. So yeah, we're going to move on.
He's reacted very maturely. He reacted so maturely.
Yeah. No, he's taken the news well. He really has.
I just like my players to play.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
I know. He's magically
hurt. It's the reality
magically
of sports.
Hurt?
Sometimes your guys get hurt. It happens.
Well, this is the one thing you didn't want with Kevin Durant in the trade. Everything was going to be fine as long as he played in the playoffs and helped you get past your – and this is like the worst case scenario. He didn't make the team better. He didn't necessarily. The chemistry definitely wasn't as good, and he's not even playing in the playoffs. Like everything that you needed out of Kevin Durant. Look, if he has to play less minutes, I know injuries have been an issue for him. He can't finish seasons. This will be another season he doesn't finish. By the way,
counterpoint for me.
Yeah, go ahead.
The best thing for this Rockets group is to not be leaning on him to save them in the series. For the future, this team
hasn't worked.
Well, they've won the last two without him. We'll see.
Well, it hasn't worked when you've asked him to, because he doesn't save you.
Yeah, so
he doesn't have the saving gene.
If we're talking about the future of whatever young core is to be going forward, Kevin Durant willing them through a mucky series against the Lakers, I wouldn't have been moved by that. Even if this ends in six and they don't win, or if it ends in seven, if they don't win, they don't do the historic thing. Watching the young players, this starting five, Shams read the stat in the same clip that we played where he's saying KD's not going to be in game six. The youngest starting core or starting five to ever win a playoff game. I think this does more for them than if KD was around and they were strictly leaning on him to save them.
In what regard?
As far as who they're going to be going forward. Now, Reed had his moment, and growth isn't linear, but the way he responded to LeBron giving him the little forearm and the plays he made, Jabari and saying what he said and coming through, I don't think much of the words. They were just words, but him showing up, knocking down shots in an elimination game, that's going to mean something going forward. And Alpi,
taking on what he took on last night to be a distributor. All those things mean more than me, no matter what happens the rest of the way, than if KD was the one going off for 35 a night, and that's how they won games.
Well, that – okay. So the second read one there with moving the ball. Let's hear from – he's on with Ernie and Kenny and Charles and Shaq, and Ernie asked him the question about, you know, actually being able to the ball movement, which was better, which is much better without him on, without KD on the court. It just is. It just is. And here's what Reed had to say. And Charles asked the next question.
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously Kevin's a great player, and we know how many points are out on the court when he plays. So we just got to space the floor and get open shots and make them and do what we do.
You know, I looked at you guys. I talked about your stats at halftime. It was very the offensive FJs were very well dispersed. Everybody, and I thought that led to y'all defensive intensity, because a lot of times when guys, you know, when they scored and getting shots, they play with better defense. Did you agree with that?
No, for sure. You know, that's big on us. We're trusting each other, and everyone's super confident playing right now. And like you said, you know, when everyone's touching the rock and you get a couple shots to go in, and then that makes you guard better, and everyone's just more impactful in the game.
So,
you know, Reed.
So,
Ime doesn't like hearing that. Oh, you can't guard unless you make some baskets?
Well, no, but what the point being, you know, everybody touching the ball, they're more involved in the game.
Yes. No, yeah. I agree with that. I just think I think there's a good chance Ime's like,
yeah.
Defense
yeah, that's right.
Is except mutually these exclusive guys, from makes.
Yeah, but, you know, these guys played at the highest level, Charles, and they all say it.
It's all true.
When the ball, yeah, as opposed to just standing around on the offensive end watching Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like I'm more involved in the game. It energizes you when you know you're actually going to get the basketball. I remember Jordan used to get Horace Grant or Dennis Rodman a basket or two, or Bill Cartwright. He used to get them a basket, make sure the first couple of possessions of the game that those guys touched the ball in the low post and got some shots.
Yeah.
Because then they felt like, oh, I'm not just here to rebound and play defense. I'm actually part of this thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it absolutely does play a role. And you know what? Charles intimated at halftime they might be better off without him. And you, Del, you're happier with what you saw than watching KD just go off and lead the team, and now you just move on. We've seen a lot of growth. Ime talked about the growth here.
Yeah. We'll get that for you. Yeah, it's less about – look, I don't know how aesthetically pleasing it is to watch this series. We talked about that, but to know that Reed had his moment. Jabari's been really consistent in this playoff run. We don't know that Tari will even be here next year. He'll be a restricted free agent, but he's knocked down shots over the course of the last couple of games. Alperen's taken on more. Whatever happens, whether there's a giant move because the KD thing simply doesn't work, or they run it back because they love the fact that Fred and Steven Adams are going to come back, these guys playing together and winning a game in L.A., when everyone, including myself, thought this series was ending last night, means more, at least I believe, for them than if KD came back and dropped 40 on the Lakers to win a game.
It only matters if it carries over.
Yeah, it has to, but I think it's a step.
Well, if it carries over to next year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But all this experience, and listen, Reed has not shot well. It's basically his first ever playoffs. And you know what? He showed some growth last night, even though he didn't shoot the ball again well. This is the first time he's going through this stuff, and he may be better having a bigger role
now. That's all true. Any playoff experience is good experience.
Yes, absolutely.
And Reed is not – you know, the thing that's impressed me about Reed, and I said this about Alpi the other day, at least Alpi keeps fighting and pushing forward and trying to have an impact. Like, he doesn't shy away. Reed is not afraid to shoot.
Yep.
Like, Reed will keep shooting. That play where LeBron just gave him a little forearm shove – and Reed Sheppard literally, and this was a major run, 11-1 run by the Lakers, and they were coming back, and the Rockets had a chance to choke off the fourth quarter. And what does Reed Sheppard do? Literally takes it on his own shoulders to go. Now, had he missed, we'd be like, dude, move the ball, Reed. What are you doing ISOing? But he didn't. He ISOed it, hit a little running mid-range shot, and then stole it from LeBron and got a dunk, and it was like, this guy's not really afraid.
No.
Not afraid of the moment.
No. As a matter of fact, that little bump, I don't know what it did for him, but
It seemed to get him a little fired up.
Yeah, right.
I like that Reed's got a little dirt in his neck.
Thank you, LeBron. Here's Ime on the growth of the team over these from earlier in the series.
Big time performances by everybody, across the board, and you're starting this really young lineup, and they are somewhat battle tested now. You know, Reed going through it for the first time, but it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't grow up to that extent because of age or whatever. It's just show growth in certain moments and progress in certain moments, and obviously in the game situation where you turn the ball over twice and foul the shooter and some of those things, you want to show growth, and I think we did that tonight when they trapped late, handled it with poise, got the shots we wanted, and made our free throws.
Yep, I mean it was a growing moment for them, and now they gotta do it again, and hopefully it carries over to tomorrow night at home. I think I liked them last night, and I like them again tomorrow night. Game 7 will be tough. Game 7 will be very tough at their place when they can't afford to lose 4 straight. It ain't easy winning 4 straight, and no matter where you're. It's just not easy to win 4 straight. But got it back here tomorrow night, and that is awesome. 713-780-3776 to get in with us here on ESPN 97.5. I just got a text, as a matter of fact, from a guy at HRP who we played with yesterday. It was great to have to be playing with those guys from HRP. It's like we're not alone in this. I mean, I've gone to their crawfish boils before. HRP has a huge crawfish boil every year that is just fantastic. It's unbelievable. The best crawfish boil I've ever been to. And they do it right, and they do it with everybody thinks they're partners. Everybody feels like, HRP has a vested stake in their business and acts like it. It's not just you are a client of ours and doesn't give you the time. They not only give you the time, they give you personalized they give you personalized help in every aspect of your business to make you better, to make the way that you do things, your process, your payroll, your HR, your benefits packages, your taxes, all of those things that are pains in the ass, they help you and your business do it better. If you're a decision maker, you're CEO, CFO of your business, you can just call up here, ask Todd or ask Laura or ask anybody that has dealt here or on the air that you've heard with HRP, and they're going to tell you the same thing. It's awesome. So if you're looking for the best way to get that payroll and HR to your people, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 934 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Gus from, have we had Gus from Indy before?
Yes, he owns restaurants here.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, Gus owns restaurants, 2 very good restaurants, 2 at least.
And you go there?
I have gone to one. I didn't go to the other one, but Gus has invited me to go. I just wasn't in Indy this year.
No.
But he's from here, but he's got 2 restaurants now in Indy.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get him in here. Hey, Gus.
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to kind of talk to John and Dale a little bit. I think you guys need to understand where Lance is coming from, and I can definitely relate, and I never thought I would say this, but, Lance is braving through strep throat to deliver a Hall of Fame performance today, and Kevin Durant can't get past a little boo-boo. I definitely see where Lance is coming from all this. We bust our butts every day. We work harder than our employees sometimes in basic planes. So I just kind of wanted to get, John and Dale to kind of step it up a little bit and kind of power through some of those. You know what I mean? Like, John's hangovers a little bit sometimes.
He still shows up.
Wait a minute. When do I miss work for sickness?
You guys should be a little bit more in tune with what I'm saying. We show up.
He hasn't gone to a doctor. It's either strep throat or he ate wheat wrong. We're not even really sure.
There was a cocktail that had a wheat stalk in it, and I may have gotten a little piece of that.
He is just saying strep throat.
Well, it's what it feels like. I think it's. I'm pretty sure it's strep.
Okay, what day was this? On Saturday?
Yeah. And it's still going on.
And today's Thursday, and you had wait.
That's why I think
there was a piece of wheat in a drink
that I swallowed and lodged in my throat. And I was like, oh. And I had already been, I was pretty liquored up anyway.
And you're talking about Kevin Durant being soft?
Here I am.
You had a little piece of wheat in a drink,
can you
and 5 days later.
Can you imagine if Kevin Durant had to do a full day of draft on TV and then had to do a mock draft second and third and then wake up at 4 something in the morning and do a radio show? He could never. He could never get through that kind of
man plies his craft every day.
Gus, and I'm pretty sure.
A billion shots put up.
Gus, $1 billion.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming in to defend him. Understandably, he's one of your heroes, but he's a prime example of never meet your heroes. Trust me. I don't know if you've met him yet, but you don't want to.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, Gus.
One is a presumed future Hall of Famer. One is a bona fide, already in the Hall of Fame.
I wonder if there's facts that were not just said there.
Yeah. But listen,
it's lasted a long time. It's turned into strep throat.
I'm going to go LeBron on this one on you.
What is LeBron's what?
LeBron. Anybody here can say something, but your soft ass can't.
What are you talking about?
You got a piece of wheat stuck in your throat for 5 days.
Where was I? Where
your
am I?
Your soft ass.
Show. I didn't call in like, can't do it again, guys. Shams, tell everybody I can't make it on the show. Shams. I'm not calling Joe George saying, Joe, you can report that I'm not going on the show.
You tripped over a curb and needed a wheelchair.
Show.
Okay.
Tell me the show I didn't do.
Oh, my God.
Tell me the show I didn't do. Dislocated shoulder.
Yeah,
show.
But your work involves sitting down.
High ankle
not
sprain.
Moving.
Show.
You don't even move when you
do your
show.
How did I get up to the studio? How did I drive
an elevator?
I had drove with a cast on my right foot.
Yeah, that happens.
Drove up
people
here.
Do that.
Not. It's not safe.
No, okay. It's not.
And I did drive with my left foot, which is probably not what you should do.
Probably not, yeah. So you're asking Kevin Durant to play on one foot.
But I'm fighting through it because I'm a pro. Here I am.
You're not a pro. That was evidenced by eating oatmeal on the air. You're not a pro.
Well, there's some things I do that are amateurish.
Yes. You're a high rep guy, too.
No, it's like high turnovers. I'm a high turnover guy.
If there was a radio professional, like, I don't know, somebody who's a professor at Syracuse, and they judge what you do. They just judge your performance these last 2.5 hours. Oh, this guy must be a high rep guy.
They wouldn't call me a high rep
guy. They would call you a high rep guy.
It's going to stay the same after
you
every
got,
rep.
You got low radio character.
Now that's not more that. True. I'm not a high rep guy. I am more of a low radio character guy.
Yeah, you're
that's
a low definitely.
I don't really. My fundamentals aren't great.
Not at all. There's no guarantee you'll be in the segment to start it. There's no guarantees there.
None. Radio and TV. A radio and TV professor, somebody from Syracuse.
Yeah, they
would kill really
you.
Not like what I'm doing. Like Andrew.
Oh no.
Andrew Siciliano.
No.
Would not be a fan of like. How do you? So you don't start some of the segments in your chair? Like, yeah, I mean, and how long have you been doing this? Long time. So what happened? Did you like nothing? I just had to use the bathroom. We have short breaks.
Yeah, but. Why did you go to the bathroom two minutes into the break? Why did you sit there for two minutes and then go to the bathroom?
That's where my fundamentals aren't great.
Yeah, poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, my fundamentals aren't great.
I just need you to make a chest pass every now and again. That's all.
Sometimes I'll throw a pocket pass.
Stop it. Give me a chest pass.
We need six passes.
Yeah. I don't even need six. Just give me the chest pass.
James throwing unnecessary, like,
oh, look,
that was a really difficult pass to
make.
Oh, look,
Lance left his feet again and make a pass. Look at him.
Yeah.
He's at it again.
Yeah. Leaving stuff, you know.
Like trash around your work area for other people to deal with.
Low mm-hmm. low radio character. I admit to that. I admit to having low radio character.
Clinking plates.
I tell you, I couldn't have gone to Syracuse. I would. They would have failed everything about me. They would have said, this is not how you do anything. Not one thing he's doing is how you do anything. Okay.
And yet.
What are you guys segment? Okay. What are going to be your topics for the third hour, the second segment? Oh, we'll see what happens.
When we turn the mic on, we'll find out.
And the guy I play golf with, Eric, goes, I like the fact that it seems like y'all don't even know what you're going to do sometimes. To me, that's our charm.
Well, that happens a lot.
He goes, do y'all like, I said, well, there was one guy who made us do that. He was our program director.
Who? Van Rysel? No.
No. Jason. Forget his name.
Barrett.
Jason Barrett.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. I want you to have RJ have this many guests booked, and I want you to have this.
Was
and
doing we're
like,
rough.
Oh, there's so much to do like this. Is this how radio's supposed to be?
We ain't doing all that.
I just say supposed to be. Is this how radio's supposed to be?
We ain't doing all that.
We tried.
We did.
It just didn't take.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No.
Yeah. You're here for
fun. The guy
fun.
Was running our show from New York. Yeah. That one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's right. Probably we should do it that way.
Yeah, you're Hall of Famer.
But then everyone's like,
that.
And then here's what we did it that way, and everyone goes, this show's boring.
Yeah. Well, this
well
so
guys, let's talk about salary cap. So there's some new functions of the salary cap you need to know about with restricted free agency. Who cares? When are you going to tell them about that racist?
News of the weird.
Well, news of the racist.
News of the weird.
That is?
That's coming up.
That's news of the weird?
Yes, it is. It's kind of weird that in 2026... this is happening.
And you think you're going to get away with it.
At J.P. Morgan. I'm not going to mention her name, although everybody, she's all over. I mean, there are multiple sources. I'm not going to mention her name.
Yeah, I'm looking at her, trying to figure out, would I accept some of this from her?
Just like as a fetish?
Yeah, little,
like the person in question did not want any of this to happen. I'm looking at her going, she's powerful, a lot of money.
There's a fetish.
How aggressive would she have to be before I said enough?
Pretty aggressive.
Well, some of the things that
hold
she
on,
said.
I know. I need to search
this
her.
Is what
what's her name? Just say it.
No, I'm not going to say.
She is saying it about a man of Indian descent.
Well, so it's nowhere on your timeline on Twitter?
Yeah, this J.P. Morgan.
I haven't really gone. I've had a lot of stuff I've had to.
Yeah. I mean, just look up J.P. Morgan right now.
So I'm trying to figure out if
office
this.
Office sex slave.
If she would.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I just put J.P. Morgan racist. Now I need to do office sex slave.
Yeah,
yeah, that can bring up the story. Well, like, could I handle some of what she's saying?
Drugged and abused? That one?
Yeah.
Probably not that. I couldn't handle that.
Well, yeah. Well, she drugged him with Viagra.
Oh.
That was the drug.
Okay. I need to wait to hear this news of the week. This is sounding pretty intriguing. And look, I mean. Dale, I'd take
this. Is what I'm saying. I'm looking at her.
You let her do what she's doing.
Now, the only picture you see of her is like kind of a neck up. You don't know. But I'm saying from what I'm looking at.
Wow, this story. Holy
crap. How much could I have taken before I said enough, ma'am?
I mean, like I said, those dynamics and fetish stuff, you just never
know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what I'm into.
I mean, she was
She's going to be the boss. She's
going
to be
the boss.
She's definitely. What they would call the dom.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of the stories we can't even. Yeah, she would berate him when he was unable to perform. And
wow. He had to do this multiple times?
And, I mean, she threatened him, you're not going anywhere in this company if
you
don't
do
this.
Wow, this is like old school.
This is.
Harvey Weinstein stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's bad.
But here's how bad
it
is with men.
Isn't it bad because it's a woman doing it to
a
man?
See, here's how bad this is. Harvey Weinstein, that stuff was terrible. The exact same thing happens. And Dell's like, I don't know how long I'd hold it out.
I'm looking at her.
While I'm doing some of the stuff she tells me to do.
This is a very stupid man thing to think about.
She calmed it down a little.
I mean, how aggressive? Like, it's me with spicy chicken. Yeah, I know Chick-fil-A. You've got some issues I take I don't like. But the spicy chicken sandwich is really good. So with her, I'm like, look, what you're doing is awful.
Oh, my gosh. What she said about basketball players? What?
Yeah. I haven't read it all. See, this is what I'm going through it.
I mean, it's.
I love basketball players. They get
me
so wet.
It is.
Hey.
That's. You don't have to dump that.
I think I do.
That's in the lawsuit.
Yeah, but you don't have to say it.
What?
You don't have to say it.
That she said that in the lawsuit.
I know, but you don't have to say it.
You didn't really have to say it.
And you know what?
Yeah, you have to say it.
Actually, hey, Lance, do you want me to pull that?
Never forget, I effing own you.
Hold on, Lance.
She said that,
John,
too.
John, executive decision.
No, don't pull it.
Do we need a clip of Lance saying basketball player skip?
No. No. Don't. That's one I put a foot down on.
Okay.
No.
I'll let you do a lot of the other ones.
Okay. We got to go to break.
We got to break.
We're
and
way
we'll
behind.
Have it on
if
the
you
other
don't
side.
Not really.
If you
we're
don't bleep me soon, I'm going to ruin you.
Hey, like, don't give it all away.
But like typically, if this is your girlfriend or wife, you'd say, okay, I can play this little game.
Don't give it all away.
But there's so many good ones. John's not going to.
Oh, there's a lot.
Oh, my God. You can't read some of this.
No, I know that.
Birthday. Have you read?
There's a reference to a fish that you don't want to have. I mean, 946 ESPN, 97.5.
Holy crap.
Don't go anywhere.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
So, there is a story all over the internet. The Daily Mail did it. An executive, female executive with J.P. Morgan. She had a sex slave in her office. He was of Indian descent.
Uh-huh.
And she used, different words to describe him.
She told him to do certain things.
And apparently his wife is of Asian descent as well. And she used some derogatory remarks about her, saying, well, she doesn't have these cannons as she pulled up her top.
Yeah, but this is pretty light work for her.
Yeah. I mean,
she's a lot more than that.
A lot more than that. She would spike his drinks with Viagra, and then she would perform or have performed sex acts.
He claimed.
And she made, at this one, she allegedly ordered him to suck her toes, pushed him to the ground, and then sat on him.
And yes.
Yes.
He claims that she drugged him with Rohypnol at points as well.
Oh, really? And Rohypnol as well.
She did things to him against his will?
Yes.
He cried.
She made him do things to her against his will?
She threatened his job, and he would not get any promotions unless he did the things that she said.
Yes, if you don't do this to me, I will ruin you.
Ruin you.
Never
you
forget, I own you.
You
yeah.
around here anyway?
Yeah, it's a lot. She's of Albanian descent.
She is?
Yes, the last name, I looked it up. It's Albanian.
She is a freak. Do you think you're going to be in good standing if you do not have me in your corner? You really think they want some...
Yeah, you can't read any of it.
You can't really.
Honestly.
Indian leading or originations?
It's all bad.
If you don't do this tonight, I'm going to sabotage your promotion.
There are tears involved from him.
Yeah, he started crying at one point.
I mean...
What's the idea?
If she was a male boss...
Oh, this would be...
They would shut J.P. Morgan down.
Yeah.
But the conversations...
I think a lot of guys are like...
Well, I was one of them at last segment. I was just, you know what? Before I got into the story, I was like, how bad would this have to be before I would have a problem? And it's pretty bad.
Did you figure it out? Did she ever cross that line for you based on the comments that came out in the lawsuit?
It's
pretty rough.
You don't know what you're into until it happens, I think, in some ways. In this case,
she's into this.
No,
this
but as far as the person receiving this, like some people are fine being a sub. You said Dom, some people are fine being a sub. I think this passes the line for me. I was like, all right. The first time, like if you remove something she said to him and replaced it with a slur she could throw at me, I'd be like, yeah, too much. That's too
she
much.
Went a little too far.
Too much. That's too much.
Can't we just, do we have to have all the ugly words?
Yeah,
can't
you,
we just?
Like, if you want to be a little dominant, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But the words?
The words.
It's too much. And I don't have a wife, but could you not say that? About, you know, you are, I guess it's all alleged to be forced, so maybe he couldn't stop it from happening, but because it's all non-consensual, at least that's what he's saying. But don't say that about my wife. I love my wife.
Yeah. Why do we have to?
Hey, you can call me
ugly names when just do stuff.
Well, we don't know, right? We don't know if any of it at any time was consensual. We haven't seen that. It is being put out there like this was all forced, and he was.
Yeah, I don't know that there was any consent.
He was in fear of his job. That's why he did any of it. Yeah. He never had or gave consent. She just took advantage
of
him.
J.P. Morgan's in some trouble here.
Some real trouble, particularly if he told anyone beforehand and they didn't do anything about it.
Yeah. Or, yeah, if they knew she
or
was
not beforehand, but during the midst of it.
Yeah, she was a freak, and this stuff happened to be going on.
He was married, too. Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Because his wife didn't have those cannons, apparently. that was alleged in the suit.
Yeah, it is. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, I mean.
This story is worth
a look up.
Searching.
Yeah, J.P. Morgan's sex scandal. We'll get you there, I believe.
She's probably not going to work in the finance industry.
Where would she work that would be allowed?
OnlyFans?
Well, that's you can be an independent contractor.
No,
you can
she's
do that.
Probably
but as
pretty,
far as
I mean,
listen now. That's
wait, she's a freak. Why not go to OnlyFans? She's not going to get in the business world again.
There's zero chance she gets a job in the business world again. She's obviously very good at something. She can sell, or she can. She's good at something.
And she is
she's
an
aggressive.
Executive.
She's an executive. Like, I'll bet she's good at what she does business wise.
I bet she is too. But you can't. She's unhirable, Lance. You can't have this on your resume.
I've seen people.
And how much is J.P. Morgan going to lose in this deal?
You know, I'd say maybe she is unhirable, but if she can make people money, there's always.
There's plenty of other people that don't call people.
Have you ever seen the sports world? There's lots of things that you can come back from in the sports world.
Yeah, but this is the business world.
There's more money to be made. If she can make somebody money, just change your name.
Zero chance.
Gabriella Davis. Boom. New name.
Is that going to fool people?
New name, new game.
Like I was, yep. Okay, where's Diana Rossini going to work next?
She's in trouble.
She had to make people money.
Diana Rossini,
not in the media world.
Did.
Not in the media world. It's too high profile.
Where? Where's she worked then?
I don't know.
She got to start her own company?
I know that this one.
That's it.
This lady will have to bail
this
out.
This lady's got no money to start a company after this.
This lady will have to bail out.
This guy's
going to
own her. This guy's going to own her after this.
If it's
true. Script flip.
Yeah.
If the alleged accusations are true.
Right.
We don't know.
He could just be saying this for a payday.
We don't know.
You don't know.
We just don't know. But it is an ugly beginning to this lawsuit.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
What, John?
It is salacious.
Let's do the thing. If she walks into the courtroom, and you're the judge.
If I was on the jury, you're the judge. I'd be kind of like,
are you dismissing this case?
Spin around.
Listen.
Spin around.
We're good. Except some of the words. Can you slow down on that?
Yeah, look. Look, I understand everyone has their kinks, but could you not say what you said?
Yeah.
Probation, I think, was what John gives her.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Even maybe house arrest.
Perhaps. Judge Granato.
I just think she needs to calm down a little bit. First of all, on some of the, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
the language.
Drugging him.
Don't do that. Yeah, that's awful.
If that's alleged.
It's alleged.
Okay.
If it's true, it's awful.
Yeah, maybe you want to throw a little Viagra at him. Okay.
Well, she allegedly did that too. Made him ingest Viagra or however he took it in.
I mean, some of that is okay.
Would we be in favor
to develop a show?
Like, we have Rocket Power. We have other shows that feature the Astros. Would a Judge Granato podcast do numbers where all we did was provide cases, but the problem for John would be how attractive is the woman?
Yeah.
And we just
have some power.
Oh, no, she's definitely just getting probation.
Like a video.
She's serving no time.
Like, first we got Rocket Power on Thursday nights here, and then we have Judge Granato.
Judge John.
Judge John, and all he does is determine if this attractive woman would go to jail.
So you had Judge Judy. There's been Judge Brown, I think. Would you watch Judge John on one of these off-brand TV stations, like, you know, on the WB or whatever? Because they do just this is a thing.
If I
watching people go to court, would you watch Judge John?
Like, we don't ever sell it that way, but everyone knows what's going on.
People would be so mad.
And if someone walks into a room and we know John wouldn't like this woman, 20 to life.
I guarantee you, you'd have Twitter be so mad at this colonizer television.
I'm kind of telling you right now, I think she's getting a bad rap. If you want to know.
Wow. Well, I guess we know what he thinks of her.
Judge John. On the next Judge John.
Diana
Rossini's getting a bad rap. 3:30 p.m. Eastern every day. Don't miss Judge John.
Right after Maury.
All right, we're done. I'm out tomorrow. Y'all have a great time without me. Raheel's going to be in for me tomorrow. I will talk to y'all again on Monday from right here, from this seat right here. So you guys have fun, and I will and we'll see you. Have a great weekend. As the Rockets win the series Sunday night, we'll talk about that.
By the time you're back, the historic comeback is what you're saying.
This is what I'm talking about. It'll be the most historic comeback in NBA history, and we'll talk about that on Monday. Everybody, have a great time.
listening to ESPN 97.5.
Bye, babe.